You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Friday afternoon. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released its grain stocks and its acreage reports. On the phone line with us to take those up and how the marketplace reacted is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, are you in Indiana or Kansas?
I am in Indiana right now. We're heading over for a week to Atchison. By the way, I heard my first joke about Kansas, Todd. I think it'd be a good day for it since the report was so nasty to us. Custer was talking to his men before Little Bighorn the night before, and he said, "Guys, I got some bad news and good news. The bad news is we're going to get slaughtered tomorrow, and the good news is we don't have to ride back through Kansas again."
Well, there will be some who felt like they were slaughtered.
Yeah, it was Little Bighorn for the Corn Bowl today.
Yes, it was. So tell me about the acreage report and what it did.
Statistically, not being emotional, trying to stay right on point with the and I thought your Dr. Good's radio or audio was really, really good, but to try and stay non-emotional, I think that if you look at Iowa, Missouri, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, there's 3.5 million acres unplanted at the time when we had 95% complete plantings on the crop progress report, and USDA said there was 97 on this morning's report. So with 3.5 million acres unplanted, based upon those plantings numbers as of June 9, you just got to wonder how they could increase the Missouri acreage numbers for corn versus March by 50,000. And this goes back to what we talked about last week on the photo tour I took through Missouri and western Illinois. I think statistically these numbers just don't add up. And I know they're going to review their bean numbers because of the late plantings and the fact that it was not far enough along to be able to make a good call on the beans. But this corn number is really suspect to me, and the market reaction is almost identical, and the colleagues in Chicago I've talked with, almost identical reaction as what we had last year after the June report. And so I think I'm going to try and play it similar to last year's report, not necessarily buy it at this price, but be looking for the next leg down to start to accumulate positions.
How much lower would you expect you to accumulate a position at?
Yeah, the 510 level is your low from this recent break here. We match that today in December corn. Then you go down to a 499 low from May 7th of last year. That's where I'll recommend lifting out of puts. That's where I'll recommend re-owning 50% of 2012 bushels. And that's where I'll recommend feed buyers come in with 50% of their next 6 months long needs that they need to cover. Because I think regardless of what wheat or beans or corn does, you're at an undervalue level, especially going into the July report. And that's what I liked especially about Dr. Good's commentary, is that I think we're going to trade the biggest supply numbers here between June 28th and July 11th, and then that's kind of what I'm setting up for. And most of what I'll do is it will be in known cost positions because I am very light on cash corn sales right now for 13-14.
Yeah, on Darrell Good, some of you may have heard that already. I sent it to Mike and a few others this morning. It's up on our website right now at willag.org, but don't rush off to it because you'll hear it within the next 10 minutes or so here.
I kind of keyed it up because I figured it was going to be coming up after we talked. I think it really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so one of the things I made note of, Mike, and I don't know whether you will have looked at this, in the PowerPoint presentation presented to the Secretary of Agriculture, it always gives the change in acreage by state.
Yeah.
And when you pull that part of it up and you look at corn and soybeans, the five top corn-producing states, of those, Nebraska was the only one from last year to this year that went up, and that was 200,000 acres. But Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota were down, I want to say, 900,000 total. And then on the soybean side, the three I states picked up, I can't remember whether it's 500,000 or 600,000 acres for soybeans. Does that give you any indication, if you've thought about it at all, of what things might turn out like for yields as we move forward? Because, of course, we have better and worse growing areas.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it goes back to, is USDA, have they changed their statistical model on how they arrive at production? Because they did come in with a very low, compared to trade expectations, yield number in the June supply-demand report. Did they decide after last year to move away from planted, harvested acres for how they're going to determine production and put more percentage weight on their yield number? That's the question I have after looking at the acreage breakdown, especially given that their principal crop areas were still a little over 325 million acres, and so still underneath last year. So you could rob Peter to pay Paul when it comes to cotton or spring wheat or something like that. But like you're saying, when you're talking about corn versus beans, and to have 3.5 million unplanted acres as of June 10th, for the corn in those five states of Iowa, Missouri, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, and to pick and choose and say, okay, only 17% of Iowa's unplanted acres will be cut versus the March estimate, but we're going to cut 44% of North Dakota's. That suggests to me, maybe based upon anecdotal evidence that I've spoken with clients and producer clients especially, that they're not filling out the information. Maybe the USDA is not getting as many responses, and maybe the actual data is not as reliable as it used to be. And that's been a topic of conversation at their technical meetings in the fall.
That would mean we would be operating blindly and very lost, and only with the USDA numbers as something of a guidepost, less than what maybe what we have had in the past.
Well, and to stop you right there, Todd, that's why I think we got to keep watching the cash basis as we go into the July delivery now, and why we have to watch the spreads, because the spreads right now would say don't sell any cash. I figured up in Larrabee, Iowa today, their cash price for spot corn is $7.27. Their new crop is $4.69. I'm not sure if that's an area that's drowned out, but I'm sure we can find an area that's drowned out that has a $2.60 difference like Larrabee. You're talking about negative 64 cents of carry per month. So you're talking about a structure in a market that say don't sell any cash at all. So if we go into delivery tonight and the market expectations of zero deliveries for corn and beans on the July contract are met, and we continue to see zero deliveries through next week, and that spread continues to stay strong in both, I think that's where it goes back to stick to paper positions if you really want to trade it from the short side. Don't sell any cash, because the market structure would say there's something got to come together here.
So, and you'll have to forgive me, but what you're saying is it's more likely that it will come up than
exactly.
Go down.
Okay. Yeah, I've never seen.
But what makes you think that? Because normally you would think the other way around.
Well, because today's grain stocks report said that the trade was more right than wrong. I think that's what really sealed the deal for me today. And when I come back and buy and recommend to clients to buy back corn for 2012, it will be in the September, because I think today's grain stocks report would suggest we are below a 700 million carryover for 12. We can't have any weather problems. And therefore, if the September is going to move one way or the other, it's probably going to keep its inverse with December and try and move towards July.
Okay, so that's all well and good. And it gets us through, I don't know, August, September, maybe part of October. Are you concerned at all about a potential wall of corn after that?
I'm really not, because you're still not going to rebuild the world supplies in wheat or coarse grains to a point where you're dealing with a 4 or 5 or 6 year high, especially when it comes to stocks to use ratios. What I'd be most concerned about goes back to a hard landing in China. They go below 6% growth, they start canceling out soybeans, and the market starts saying, we can't assume the type of demand that we've had coming out of China in the emerging markets that we've been used to this last 5 or 7 years. And then all of a sudden the commodity super cycle bears come back out of the woodwork and start to press the market even further. This is where copper and wheat play the best role and are the best proxies. Both of those, going into the half point of the calendar year 2013, both of those are down about 15%. Both of those are down at their fall of 2011 lows. So wheat and copper, to me, are excellent proxies for what's going on in the outside markets when it comes to overall commodity demand.
What do you make of the daily and weekly trade for the soybeans and the corn? You know, as we talked about already, but we haven't talked about the weekly trade, the outside ups in both the July contracts for corn and soybeans.
Yeah, and this is where it goes back to the charts and the fundamentals would suggest maybe you have to feed the bull in today's grain stocks report. I think you did that, especially in the corn, in relation to where the grain stocks came in versus trade estimates. But the cash market would say, as long as we don't get hit with any surprise deliveries, the charts and the technicals would suggest this market's got more to it to the upside in the old crop. So that's where, that's why the market has been so accurate in bull spreading here for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, they've done a terrific job of buying old crop and selling new crop, and USDA's reports, both of them, played right into that again.
Okay, so let's turn it to the other side. You're
sure.
Telling the guys with grain, don't sell. What about the livestock producer? Should they buy?
Yeah, exactly. That's where I think you get down into that 499 level in December corn futures, and that's where I do want to pick up and recommend clients pick up about 50% of their needs when it comes to the corn for the next 6 months. The biggest issue I have on my plate right now is what the August meal is going to do in relation to the July meal. And if we can attract meal imports, then I don't think we have as much to be concerned about as livestock producers on the meal front. But if we don't see a lot of meal imports coming in July, that's going to resurrect some fears in my mind that we need to book some August and SEP futures or get some calls underneath this, because we might have another run before harvest for the soybeans. This is where the July report for soybeans will be just as important as the corn.
As always, it was great to talk to you.
You too. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much. That is Mike Zuzulo. He was Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting and is in Lafayette, Indiana.